Think Realty Nation. It's your host, Avi Gohar. Welcome to the Think Realty podcast. In this show, we'll be talking about how you can go and transition from what you're doing now to a full-time investor if you are not already a full-time investor. We have a very compelling guest and a very compelling story, and a lot of the stuff that we'll be talking about today, and you know me, stuff is a very technical term in my world. There's a lot of mindset stuff. There are a lot of things that need to be considered when becoming a full-time investor. Things like mindset, things like deal flow, capital, operations, people, process. What are we even doing? What's the ultimate exit strategy? So some of these things I want to talk through with my guest today, Ellis Hammond. After the interview, we'll jump into a little segment and talk about some of the considerations that you, as a real estate investor, need to make when hiring a property manager. So that's segment number two. Segment number one's coming right up. We can't do this show without the help and support of our sponsors. So a huge shout out to Marco Santrivelli and his team at Narada Real Estate Investments, your premier source for cash flow investment property. Visit www.turnkeyrealestateinvestments.com. All right, let's get to it. Ellis, welcome to the show, man.
What's up, man? So pumped to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So give us a little background, who you are, what you do, and I'm excited for the story because this is something that I think needs to be heard by a lot of new real estate investors and provide additional inspiration for those that are already in the game looking at transitioning to be better. So give us a little background.
Dude, I'm stoked to be able to do this. I'm a former missionary and pastor, actually. I was a Christian pastor and missionary for 6 years. Okay. And had no idea really how to go build wealth, create capital, invest in real estate. And it was about 4 years into to us building our ministry that I kind of just said, like, we had a capital crunch, man. Like, we needed to figure out better ways to create capital. And real estate kind of became that opportunity, honestly. And we just got hungry. We wanted to figure out, how do we go do that? The way that I honestly, like, up to that point, man, I really thought you had to be a millionaire to buy real estate. I had no idea. And I, of all things, I heard a radio ad said, hey, if you want to go learn how to build wealth through real estate, come to this seminar. And that's what I went to. And I, you know, it was one of those fix and flip things. I didn't end up doing that model, but it was the first time that I realized, wow, you actually don't need to come from wealth in order to start investing in real estate. That actually real estate is the starting point and not the end game for most people who are serious about building significant wealth. And so that was a start for us, man.
So what helped you make the leap? Because for a lot of folks out there, they're thinking, well, it seems intimidating. Like you said, one of the barriers that you had to break down for yourself is, I had to be a multimillionaire to buy real estate. And then you learn about leverage and you're like, wait a minute, no, I don't. What was that leap that you made mentally to say, okay, I'm committing to this. This is what I have to do. I've got to do it. It's my calling. It's the best. It's one of the ways that I can best serve me, my family, my friends, my community, both financially and from a time perspective. What's that leap? What's that connection?
Well, I mean, people always say this, you hear this a lot, it starts with your why, but like, that's so true. Like, literally, so this is what happened. One of the guys who was working for our organization, he was a fellow missionary, a younger guy who was really, I was on the executive team, and he had come on our team. He really trusted us. He was part of our mission and really building out communities of faith here in San Diego, California. And he came to me one day. He said, hey, Ellis, I'm struggling this month to buy groceries. And that was a turning point for me, because I realized in that moment I had been thinking about capital all wrong, and that I didn't know really how to create it or steward it. And he was, and I honestly, I thought capital or money was evil, like it only really produced bad things. And it was in that moment things changed for me when I said, if a guy like this needs more money, then we need to go figure out how to create it. And so that was a huge turning point for me, where I'm like, I don't know how to do it yet, but I'm hungry enough now to go figure it out. And so that was one. And then, you know, just honestly, like, the how is, I think anybody, man, can be mildly successful if you have two things. If you learn to be resourceful, and two, like, you just don't give up, you know? And so we just was like, we're going to figure this out, man. I went to a radio seminar. Like, who does that? You know,
this, it's like, guy, I just, was I like, did it too. I did out. It too. Yeah. In my hometown of Kalamazoo, Michigan, I remember hearing about this. I don't know, these two brothers talking about investing. And I was like, I was in high school. and like, I need to go and check it out. I was like thinking about this, and it was, for me, what the heck? All right, I'm a kid. I haven't even gone to college yet. I'm just trying something. So I'm in the same boat as you are, man. I got you.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
So where are you today? So you made this transition. You started off as a missionary. You did amazing work for the 6 years, and then you transitioned to a full-time investor. You realized a lot of things along the way. And, you know, you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Well, it didn't come that easy. So, like, we were like, okay, well, how do we get going, right? And we weren't just going to quit our job or whatever we were doing to go, because we didn't know what we were doing. So we started with a duplex in San Diego. And we found a mentor who really kind of came alongside us, helped us get started. We actually had a family investor who put up the down payment for that property. And we knew we had a good deal. And so it was just convincing them to say, hey, would you trust us for a year to go and really create value from this property? And so we did your typical house hack where we lived in one side, we were renting out the other. Yep. And it was great, man. And honestly, we made $150K in equity in 11 months in that project. And so here I was, never made more than probably 40 or 50 grand a year to creating $150K in equity in 11 months. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is how we're going to do this. But the big turning point in that, and I always say, was like, I realized buying a duplex at a time was never going to cut it just because it wasn't scalable. It took all of our time, and I'm not a handyman, and I didn't want to do all the things that buying a duplex at a time required.
Yeah.
And that's when we learned about the vehicle syndication, that we could actually raise large amounts of capital from private investors. And essentially they get to be a part of these real estate projects, and it allows me to hire world-class teams, third-party property management, allows me to partner with other experts. And so it was 9 months later that we actually syndicated our first $9.5 million deal, 144 units. And I partnered with another expert. And we went to work, man. It was awesome.
So let's kind of take maybe a step back. You said something very interesting, maybe, I don't know, a few minutes ago, and you said you wanted to learn how to become a steward of your money.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you?
That's a great question, man. I think that, you know, the reason I wasn't serious about creating capital is because I saw what I thought money did early on in my life. I saw it cause conflict between my parents. I saw my father pass away when I was 21 and he was 55. And from the time he retired at 40 to 55, he always worried or struggled with money. I thought it created disappointment. And so I just had this such a terrible outlook on money. And then honestly, I probably thought too that like those who really have a lot of money probably got it through some type of deceit or greed. It's completely wrong about all those things. And what I've realized now about money is that, man, money is actually just a tool or a vehicle that we can use, that we can have mastery over if we learn how to create it and steward it. And those that's being taken advantage by money or don't have a lot of it or worry about it or anxious about it is because, unfortunately, they don't have the financial education in order to how to really create it, protect it, and even multiply it. And so that for me is what I think about stewardship is just like time. When I was a missionary, what I was stewarding was my time, right? And now as a real estate investor, as a multifamily investor, as a really an advisor of capital, now I'm learning to be a steward of not just my time, but also my money and other people's money as well. Because what we're doing, and I hope we can get into this, is that we are not just buying real estate and helping people make money. We're actually stewarding that capital and stewarding our assets to also have spiritual impact, to also have social impact. So I'm just trying to help people take down the barrier that, you know, the best way to, for me, what I thought the best way to serve God was go be a missionary. And I'm like, actually, no, like you can be a business entrepreneur, you can be an investor and still have significant spiritual and social impact and make good money at the same time.
So let's talk about this concept of capital equals influence. Mm-hmm. And then I would love to get into how you're using multifamily investments to create the spiritual and social impact, because I think that's really important. It furthers the why, it furthers helping others, because that's ultimately the end all be all here, right? Like if we miss that, then no amount of money amassing, you can amass an endless amount of money, but you'll be so empty inside. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. unbelievable. So capital equals influence. Help me walk that line here.
Yeah, the reason I love this message, I want to help people understand this, is because what I thought was capital equals problems. Capital equals, it equals things that aren't good, evil almost. And I think honestly, in the faith world, that's kind of how it's talked about. It's almost as like, well, let's stay away from money because of what money does. And that's actually just not the case. It's the love of money, right? The love of money comes from this lack of knowledge, a lack of education of how money works. And so what I want to help people see is that capital actually equals influence. And the more that great people who understand it have it, the more influence that we can have. Listen, the reason why this kid couldn't buy groceries is because he didn't have enough capital, right? And the reason he couldn't be on the campus more and have more influence is because he was out trying to find more money, right? And so when we have a surplus of capital and we can leverage that in the right way, dude, then we can have double the influence. And so that's the message, man. And it's really just a simple mindset shift for a lot of folks to think like, no, capital is actually something that we can use and steward. We've used that word a lot, to actually have greater influence, not less, and positive influence, not negative. That's the message.
So one of my really good friends, I'd love to introduce you. His name's Tom Olson. Maybe you know him as well. He runs a mastermind called Good Success, and he's done a lot of amazing work in the city of Gary, Indiana. And mm-hmm. every time we meet, we always talk about this concept of stewarding your capital, being a good steward. And it's so interesting to hear your perspective on it, because it aligns very, very well with what he says too. So
I just interviewed Tom actually on my podcast.
So yeah, exactly. You know what I'm talking
and
about.
He just interviewed me. So yeah, he's a great guy, man. I love Tom. Yeah. He's doing some incredible stuff. I mean, he's a great case of like, his vision is to change the city of Gary, Indiana, yep. one flip at a time. It's like, dude, that's amazing.
There you go.
I mean, yeah. That is being a missionary, right? And yeah. regardless of what, you know, you're Christian or whatever, like that's you're being a missionary for your city and creating good and creating influence. I mean, he yeah. is another brother in the faith, and so that's his vision too, and I love it, man. He's just a great example of what I would call a kingdom capitalist, a guy who really has a kingdom vision and is a capitalist at heart. So
I love it. So let's round out the conversation. You're a multifamily guy. You love multifamily. It's helped yep. you build wealth. It's helped others build wealth. It's helped other investors build wealth. You are doing what you've always wanted to do in your life. And now you're also creating spiritual and social impact within those communities. How are you doing that?
Well, let's just think about it from like a macro standpoint. And then I'll get into actually, if you think about buying a multifamily apartment complex, most people use the word units, right? How many units do you have in our contract? Well, we just bought a 144 unit deal. We just, you know, we own 1,000 apartment units. And excuse me if it's loud in the background. I'm actually rehabbing one of our units near my studio. But let me keep going. So they say, well, we got this many units. You're actually not buying a unit, man. You're buying so much more than that. You're buying a home. You're buying you're purchasing where someone, a family lives and teaches their kids and builds community. And so to think about the influence or the stewardship you have when you buy an apartment complex is massive. So when we bought yeah. the 144 unit deal, we just acquired 144 families. And so that is a perspective that we think through, man, is okay, our goal is to not just own 10,000 units, but really be able to influence 10,000 families. And so we're actually in the works right now, man, of launching a fund called the Mission of Multifamily Fund One. And our goal is to work with experienced operators who have the same vision. And there's an incredible organization out there called Apartment Life. And what Apartment Life does is a nonprofit that works with operators and apartment owners. And they'll place what I would call a missionary family or a church family into this apartment complex. And their role, man, is to just kind of shepherd and provide care for that community. And so the apartment owner, what they're responsible for is providing a place for them to live, an operating budget for them to operate with, and work together closely with this community advisor to really have influence in that property. And so what's also from a business model, what's cool about that, man, is that you know, you think about what people really want. And I'm so passionate about, I think very differently about this. I think the most operators right now is the race to amenities. Let me just be really clear. Amenities is not what keeps people. Relationships is what keeps people. And so if you want to build something that's really sticky, it's not having a bowling alley in your apartment complex. Yeah, that might what grabs people's attention, but what keeps them is relationships. And so when you really can build something in your apartment community where people are actually friends and they hang out and they don't want to leave because they don't want to leave their community, yeah, that's powerful. And so Apartment Life has proven that they can reduce turnover, which adds to our operate, you know, which adds to our bottom line, which increases equity for our investors. And so it's a great, love the model here, right? And so that's how we're doing both, man. We're doing projects that are going to create strong yield, strong return for our investors while giving them the opportunity to do more than just add to the bottom line.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And I didn't know something like that existed. That's
not many people do. Yeah.
It's really, really, really neat. Congratulations on the success.
Yeah, man.
That's incredible. And the bowling alley. That's so funny, right? Like bowling alley, movie theater, whatever it is. Like you
golf,
said,
it's virtual golf. There's one in San Diego that's virtual. I'm not going to lie. That's pretty cool. Like it catches my attention.
I mean, it's cool.
But honestly, think about this, man. You got this whole cool arcade. Right now, you can't even use it, okay? Because you got COVID. You can't even go there. But let's say you go, people, they're there the first 30 days. How many people actually go back down to the arcade and use the virtual golf more than once a month?
No.
Zero.
No. Right. That's probably as ridiculous as like you being on your TV playing the Nintendo Wii swinging a virtual baseball bat. Like I'd rather be on the field doing this in, you know, in person.
Right.
But you know what? Because I'm on the field doing this in person, I'm building camaraderie with my team and I'm building those relationships, which is exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yep.
Where can we learn more about the fund? Where can we learn more about you and your story?
Absolutely, man. So we actually just wrote a book on this. My first book, and I'd love, if you don't mind, man, to give everyone a free copy.
Yeah,
that'd be great, of course. Missionofmultifamily.com is where they can go and grab that. And you'll get an email from me. Would love to hear from you, you know, if you're interested in this. And ellishammond.com is where you can go and learn, you know, and even potentially be a partner with us in future projects. So the book missionofmultifamily.com is where to start. And then ellishammond.com is where you can go next.
Man, this has been an awesome conversation. Thank you so much for the time. I certainly appreciate it. And a lot of the insights and just the different perspective. You know, I never thought of the capital equals influence. And I've heard about the, you know, that money is the root of all evil and the love of money is all of that. But I never thought about it from the, holy cow, when you have capital and you can shepherd it properly, it actually equals a great amount of influence that you now have with other people. And also now you can shepherd them in the right way, whichever way that you choose. So Ellis, thank you so much again. Ellishammond.com, everybody, make sure to check it out. And Ellis, that other website one more time,
missionofmultifamily.com.
Bingo, missionofmultifamily.com. Certainly appreciate the time today, Ellis. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Think Realty Nation, the next segment is brought to you by AaronBChapman.com. Bypass all of the overcomplications of the common suit and tie of mortgage guy and connect with Aaron Chapman and his team of real estate investment finance experts at Security National Mortgage. No fluff, no complicated industry speak, just brutally direct action. Visit AaronBChapman.com today for more information. What are some top considerations when hiring a property manager? You're growing your portfolio and you're like, well, geez, I don't want to self-manage this stuff anymore. It's getting overly complicated. Well, the editorial staff of Think Realty wrote an article on this particular topic on the blog, so make sure you check it out at thinkrealty.com. What are you looking for? Well, experience is one of these things I think you should be looking for. You want to ask questions like, quote, how many properties have they managed before? How many clients do they presently have? And what experience do they have in turning around troubled properties, troubled tenants maybe? And also ask to speak with some of their current clients. Number two, you're looking for professionalism. Are they courteous? Are they professional with you, the tenants, etc.? You don't want somebody that's going to act awry. That doesn't make any sense. Number three, tech savvy. This is kind of my world. If you are a property manager, if you're thinking about hiring a property manager that works on Google Sheets, maybe think twice. Reputation, you want to make sure they have a good reputation in the marketplace, not somebody, not a company, not a property manager that's kind of your fly-by-night. Availability and responsiveness. When you message them, when you call them, when you text them, when you email them, are they getting back to you timely and not 10 hours from now, but relatively quickly if there is an issue that you have as the owner of the property? So some of these things you should absolutely consider. Take a look at the blog on thinkrealty.com. You'll find this to be a very good, actionable article, and just at the very least, some good gold nugget takeaways that you can put action on right now if you're looking for that property manager. So Think Realty Nation, that's the show. Let's wrap it up. If you have any questions for us, you know how to get in touch. Head on over to thinkrealty.com. You can find me at abigolhar.com or anywhere online at abigolhar. I'm pretty active right now on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn, more so LinkedIn than any of the other platforms currently. And a huge shout out again to the sponsor of today's podcast, which is Narada Real Estate Investments, which is your premier source for cash flow investment property. Visit www.turnkeyrealestateinvestments.com to learn more. Think Realty Nation, until next time, happy investing.